One more test, test, 1, 2, 3. I received a Swiss Army knife, a hatchet, and a wrist rocket, like a high-powered slingshot, the kind you could kill a small woodland creature with. I want to become the type of man who would live and frame his life in a way that others may live. Welcome to the Form for Good podcast, a framework for men in search of meaning. When I was a kid, I received a set of Christmas gifts over the course of 3 years, three consecutive Christmases, and they all came from my grandma, my dad's mom, and I'm fairly certain she didn't seek approval before deciding to give these to me, but there was something that my grandma understood about the heart of a young boy. I received a Swiss Army knife, a hatchet, and a wrist rocket, like a high-powered slingshot, the kind you could kill a small woodland creature with. And greatest gifts I remember receiving, or some of the greatest gifts as I look back. And somewhere along that process, I took the hatchet out. It was still wintertime, and I had not learned yet how to use it, but I wanted to try to test it out and cut off a tree branch. So I went back into the woods. As I mentioned, everything was still pretty cold, and I found a rather small tree, and I grabbed onto the upper part of the tree with my left hand, sighted a branch that I wanted to take off, and took my first swing. The hatchet hadn't been used. The branch was still pretty frozen, and it didn't have a lot of strength yet, and the hatchet bounced off the branch, and I didn't let go of it, but it went back up in the air, and the weight of the head came down on top of my other hand. Hit my middle knuckle on my middle finger and split it open. And I don't remember if I dropped the hatch or not, but I went running back to the house and turned on the faucet, and cold, icy water spraying out over the wound. Probably the worst thing I could have done because it obviously just increased the bleeding. But at some point I got back in the house. My mom took me in to get stitches. And it's one of the most distinct memories I have from growing up. And I want to come back to that story because it's pretty significant in my story. But before I do, I want to read a few pieces from Ephesians 1. The first one starts in verse 4. It says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." As you skip down to verse 11, he said, "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything to work out according to his plan." And then finally, as we skip ahead to verse 19, the author of Ephesians says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." And the reason I wanted to read that passage is it actually has to do a lot with our identity, and specifically our identity as sons, as adopted sons of a good father, as sons of God. And the deal is, if we're going to understand the larger story and our place in that story, we need to start with understanding who we are and where we came from. And it's a piece, I think, that many of us have lost, or if we're aware of it, we don't really believe it. And this idea of identity and sonship is something we'll come back to a lot in this podcast. But there's one piece I want to focus on today that was mentioned in this passage, and it's the idea of authority. So one of the implications of being a son of God is that we are given his authority. We're entrusted with a certain degree of power to face the things that come at us in this world with a strength and to be able to respond and to handle our world. He entrusts a portion of his power to us. And we have that as sons. But the thing is I think many of us don't understand, and the reason it's important is as we begin to understand authority, the first thing that begins to dissolve in our life is fear. Because if I recognize that I have access to the resources of heaven, and by that I mean inner resources, strength and and patience and self-control and peace and resolve, the things that are available through God's Spirit. Obviously, He provides for our physical needs as well, but there's these inner resources that are available in unlimited quantity. And if we begin to understand that and who our dad is, we have no reason to fear. Now, the other thing is, because of this, the enemy, and we do have an enemy in this story, is very invested in deceiving us about our position as sons and about this authority that we carry, because he wants to keep us in fear. Because if he keeps us in fear, he keeps us basically neutralized and unable to do much in this world. He keeps us paralyzed. Whereas when we step into this and realize who we are, we become very dangerous for good, for the kingdom of God. And so in my mind, there's almost this back and forth sparring match between God, who's trying to reassure us, convince us of our position as his sons and make his power available to us, and the enemy, who doesn't want us to believe it. And this idea of authority was first really introduced to me through a good friend. His name is Morgan, and he heads up a powerful, beautiful ministry based out in Colorado called Become Good Soil. And through Morgan, I came across this commercial that was put out by Gerber Knives. And it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It's basically a montage of mostly men facing all these different precarious situations. And in some of the scenes, they're needing to use a knife to face that situation. So it's just highlighting the versatility of this tool, and mainly highlighting the ability of these men to handle these situations. And so it's everything from, you know, cutting open a bag of seed to cutting back the fabric on a pant leg where the guy had sustained an injury to his leg. Someone's underwater cutting a rope that's caught around a propeller, you know, using the knife to start a fire. There's even scenes of tornadoes and grizzly bears and things that don't have anything to do with knives, but it's the emotion of these men who have been entrusted with something and are able to handle it and face what comes against them. And when I first saw that, there was two things that happened. I had two reactions. One was that I desperately wanted that to be true of me. I wanted to be the kind of man that could handle and face those things with courage and with strength and with authority. But I also, the second thing was, I deeply doubted my ability to do that. And it started to surface in me a deep belief that I had, that I couldn't handle the world, that I couldn't handle difficult situations, that I didn't know really how to be a man. And I didn't know it at the time, but one of the places that started was back in that story I opened with of the hatchet. That wasn't the only time that I injured myself with a dangerous tool. I had many situations growing up with knives and other tools where I got hurt. And, you know, that's part of life. But what happened was the deceiver, the enemy, got in there and started lying to me about who I was and about my strength and my ability to face those situations. And so this gift that God had given me, actually through my grandma, I actually look back and see God was fathering me through her in entrusting me with these things. He was trying to steal it and convince me that it wasn't true. Well, the amazing thing is that God's love for us as his sons is unrelenting. And so fast forward years later, I met a man who became a mentor, a wise, loving, kind man who poured his strength into me. And he ended up gifting me a knife, a Gerber pocket knife, and became one of my prized possessions. And I took it with me everywhere, even though I didn't really know how to use it. Well, then I mentioned a sparring match earlier, and the idea that the enemy is invested in stealing what God wants to bring to us. And this mentor, this friend, he ended up passing away from cancer. And then shortly after that, I actually ended up losing the pocket knife. I was on a road trip with my family, and I think it fell out at a gas station. I'm not really sure, but I ended up losing this gift. And, you know, we're in a fallen world, and cancer happens, and we lose things, but the enemy was right there again, bringing back, surfacing, resurrecting those old lies about my inability to carry authority or to face difficult things or to offer strength. But again, God is unrelenting. And fast forward again a couple of years, and I had a really good friend who retired from the military, and he and his wife and their kids decided to move back to Australia, where his wife was from. And so they needed to offload all of their earthly possessions for the most part, other than a small shipping container that they sent ahead. And so they're selling and giving things away. And I was sitting in my friend's truck with him, helping them one day with moving. And he asked me if we needed a vehicle. And it turned out that we actually did, although I hadn't communicated this to him. And I figured he was going to offer to sell the truck to me. And then he proceeded to tell me that he and his wife felt that God had directed them to gift this truck to my wife and I and our family. And I mean, I was weeping. I didn't know how to respond. And it was just an amazing provision. But then a few weeks later, right before they were going to be leaving to head to Australia, God brought something even more close to my heart. My friend pulled out a black Gerber pocket knife, the same style as the one that I lost, just a different color. And he asked me if I'd have a use for it because he couldn't take it with him. And that knife is in my pocket right now as I'm sharing this. And it's just the constant reminder to me of my position as a son, of God's love for me, and of his unrelenting commitment to convince me of who I am so that I can step into the authority he's giving me and face the things in this world that he's called me to. And I just want to end with this. All of life isn't a Gerber pocket knife commercial, and I'm not out fighting grizzly bears. The last time I used this pocket knife was actually earlier today. And my daughter was given a sewing machine for her birthday that my wife picked out because she loves to sew, sort of an aqua blue sewing machine. And when she unwrapped it, she needed help opening the box to get out her sewing machine. And I used my pocket knife to open a box for my daughter. It doesn't sound like anything epic or dramatic, but it's this small piece of being prepared to be able to offer strength to the people that I love in even really small ways. And it's a very powerful role to have in this larger story. And so my encouragement to you as we close here is to ask God to father you because he wants to. And even more than that, ask God to show you the places where you have believed lies about who you are and the ways he's already been fathering you, because he has. We just don't always have eyes to see it. It could be, and is often, through other men, but he can do it through anyone and in any way. He can do it through your grandma gifting you a slingshot. He can do it in a way you wouldn't expect. So just ask him to give you the eyes to see the ways that he is calling you out as his son.